Okay.
Good morning, church. It's so good to see you all.
All right, so let's get started. So I have a colleague from work, and her name is Sarah, and she has the two most adorable little kids. Her son is named Noah, and her daughter's named Grace, and Noah's about 5 years old, and Grace is about 3 years old. So Sarah one day was telling me at work that how she teaches Noah and Grace how not to hit one another, she puts them in timeout. So if Noah hits Grace, Noah goes into the timeout chair in the kitchen. If Grace hits Noah, Grace goes to the timeout chair in the kitchen. So one day, Sarah told me that she saw Noah and Grace playing in the playroom, and they were getting along, except all of a sudden, Noah starts taunting Grace with a toy. And Grace is about to hit Noah when she looks over at Sarah, at her mother, and saw her mother looking at her, and so she stopped, right? Now, Sarah's like, oh, great, you know, Grace didn't hit Noah, I'm just going to go back to my work and resume what I'm doing. A few minutes pass, she hears Noah crying and wailing, and so she gets out of her chair, runs into the other room, and is like, what happened? She sees Noah with tears streaming down his face, and she looks around, she's like, where's Grace? And so she walks into the kitchen, and lo and behold, Grace is sitting in the timeout chair. Grace was weighing in her head that it was worth hitting the mother and enduring the consequences of the timeout. Right? Grace is kind of my hero. Well, I wonder sometimes what if that's like our relationship with God, if that's our relationship with how God deals with our temptation. Some of us may be thinking, God, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm just going to do it anyway because it feels good, it feels comfortable, and it's just something that I want to do, and I know that you'll just forgive me, and it will all be over with, and it'll be all fine. But I hope today the story that we're going to look at in Luke 4, 1-14, that this would give us a different view of who God is in relation to who we are when we are going through temptations. Being tempted is not a sin. Jesus experienced temptation, as we will see today. But it's when we act upon our temptations, when we give in to our temptations, that's when the sin happens. So let's dive right into the story. If Luke 4 can be pulled down, if you look into your Bibles, we're looking at Luke 4, 1-14, or if you pull out your phones or share with someone next to you. Luke 4, 1-14. Let's read together. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Now, one of the first things I noticed from this story in this opening section is just how human Jesus is. Luke writes that Jesus doesn't eat for 40 days, and then he says he's hungry. Well, duh, right? Yeah. Has anyone of us fasted for 40 days? Maybe some of you have. I think maybe Gandhi fasted for 40 days, and I'm sure he probably felt really hungry afterwards, too. And sometimes, I mean, I come to church, I don't know, maybe you guys didn't eat breakfast yet, and your stomachs are grumbling, you're looking forward to lunch. But Luke is writing, saying that Jesus didn't eat, and he was hungry. And that's just something important for us because we tend to forget that Jesus was a human being. We think Jesus is God, so perfect, so much that Jesus becomes this abstract idea that we forget that Jesus is a Jewish man from Nazareth. We start saying things like, oh, I'm not like Jesus. I can't ever be like Jesus because he's too perfect. And that's not entirely true. God sent Jesus in the flesh, in our bodies, so that we can know and relate to God. Because God the Father is invisible. We can't see God. That's what Scripture says. So God sends Jesus in a human form so that we can know and we can relate to God. All right, so how many of you guys know Jeremy Lin? There's a picture of him coming up. This is Jeremy Lin. He's right now probably one of my favorite basketball players. He's not doing so well. But when I first saw him play basketball, professional basketball in the NBA, I was like, wow, a Chinese American person can play professional basketball. And I was like, maybe it's possible, right? All right, we can take off that picture. Or the first time that I saw like a woman preaching, I was like, wow, that person looks like me. It is possible. Similarly, when we look at Jesus and we see that he is human, we can say, wow, look, Jesus is a human being. We can know and relate to God. We can maybe live a life like Jesus lived. And so what I want to emphasize is Jesus came into this world because he experienced what we experience. He experiences the temptations we are going through because there isn't any temptation or any sin that God cannot touch or heal. So now the second thing that we notice in the scripture is that Jesus' divinity is tested, right? In the previous chapter, if you want to look in Luke 3, Phil talked about this 2 weeks ago, but Jesus was about to be baptized, and the Father opened up the heavens and said to Jesus, "You are my son, whom I love." Luke affirming Jesus' identity as son of God. Then, if that wasn't enough, Luke, at the end of chapter 3, if you look in your scriptures, goes through this extensive genealogy, saying, Jesus is the son of Joseph, son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, so-and-so, and so forth and so on until he gets to the end. Jesus is son of Adam, son of God. And if we look in Luke 4, this is what Jesus is getting at. I mean, this is what the devil was getting at, right? So in the first temptation and in the third temptation, in verse 3 and verse 9, Satan, the devil, is saying, if you are the son of God, turn these stones into bread. In verse 9, if you are the son of God, throw yourself down from here. If you are the son of God, prove it. Why this is important is because if Jesus was just like us, like every human being, then if he went through those temptations, he would just give in. Right? If Jesus was just like us and experienced the temptations, he would mess up like we did. But Jesus didn't. And this story shows that he resisted and overcame his temptation. Therefore, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus can save us from sin. So just to sum up what's happening here in Luke 4, I think in Luke 4, Luke is showing us that Jesus is fully human and that Jesus is also the Son of God because Jesus resisted and overcame temptation. And at the same time, we can see that we can relate to Jesus because Jesus experienced temptation. All right, let's go back to my hero, Grace. The reason why Sarah, my coworker, sets up this timeout system, it's because she has a vision for who she wants her children to be. Right? She wants Noah and Grace to learn that hitting one another isn't the best conflict resolution. She also wants them to know that short-term gratification doesn't totally work out in the long term. And I think this is similar to the way that God sees us. God, when God created us, God had a vision for who we were to be. It says in Genesis 3 that when God created us out of the abundance of love that the Trinity was experiencing. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's out of the outflow of the love and the relationship that the Trinity had. And that's why God created each of us. We were created to be sons and daughters of God. It's a beautiful, beautiful vision.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. So what temptations become is that temptations become these situations where there's a choice presented for us. Do Do we choose God and choose the identity that God gives us as sons right. and daughters of the King, right. fully loved by God? Or do we choose something far less, far smaller, far more, much more diminished than who God created each one of us to be?
That's good.
So, yeah, back to Genesis. We see that Adam and Eve, they were given everything they wanted. God was walking with them. God was present with them. They rested fully in their identities as the children of God. There was a harmonious relationship between Adam and Eve, between humans and the world. They experienced the full goodness of who God was and with one another. But when they were tempted in Genesis 3, the serpent literally lied to them about what God said. The serpent literally told them, "If you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And they ate it, not trusting in God's goodness, not trusting who God created them to be. They thought there was something better, and as a result, they sinned. And so sin becomes this separation from God. And in Romans, Paul writes a little bit further and says, "The relationship of sin and death is that when sin enters the world, death enters the world as well. And death affects every one of us." Right? We all experience death. So the connection here is that, so when we mess up, when we sin, it actually leads and moves us into a direction of death. There's a friend who is close to my roommates and me. He's a really smart guy. He's one of those guys that's just naturally smart, and he doesn't have to try too hard to be smart. And he's also really funny, really engaging socially. You meet him, he's extremely winsome. He's so goofy, and it's just so fun to be with. But at the same time, he's also kind of bored with life, and he's had a rough family history. And so now he spends most of his days either doing drugs or playing lots of video games. But whenever we ask him to come hang out with us, and whenever he comes out of the house, it's like there's a breath of fresh air that comes into his life. And it's just amazing. He's actually so good. He comes to life when he comes out and hangs out with us. But then we've also seen times where we have invited him, and he would say no, and just kind of crawl back into the dark places that we've seen him be in. And it just feels really sad. What's been scary for us to witness in his life is just that it's so easy for him to crawl back into those dark places. It feels safer, it feels more like he has control. He just crawls back into those places, even though he experiences so much life and joy when we see him hanging out with us and being with people. So, you and I, we all face different types of temptations. And when we sin, or when we give into our temptations, we have a diminished view of who God made us to be as sons and daughters of God. Right? When we sin, we have a diminished view of who God made us to be, beloved children of God. And those can come out in negative thoughts and even abusive thoughts of who we are and what our bodies are supposed to be. They can be a diminished view of who God made somebody else to be. So think of the patterns of violence that we are seeing in our society against black and brown bodies. They can be an elevated view of who God made us to be as sons and daughters of God. So like in the second temptation where the devil leads him up and shows him the splendors of the world, it can be the splendor, could be the authority, could be the power that the world has to offer. Yeah, and so I think what happens is the devil creates a situation where we can choose these dark places that we crawl into that leads us to places of death, or there's this choice of like, let's crawl out of it and experience life together. And I think this story begs us to ask, where are these dark places in our lives where we give in to temptations, where we give in to anything less than who God called us to be as sons and daughters of the Most High? So Joyce, you're like, okay, so what do we do? Does God put us in time out? You know, like some of us, you know, parents or teachers that we do when we teach our children, does God put us into time out when we give in to our temptation? How do we actually overcome and resist the temptation that's before us? If we look back at Luke 4, the scripture says, Jesus quotes scripture. So I'm just going to read those out to you. Luke 4, whenever the devil gives one claim, Jesus says in verse 4, man shall not live on bread alone. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy, right, in verse 4. And then in verse 8, Jesus says, no, worship the Lord your God, and serve only, again, Deuteronomy. And then the last one, verse 12, again, scripture, do not put the Lord your God to the test. I think scripture is a great place to begin, right? The Bible is this, like, story of God's love for humans and who we are, and the Bible speaks of great truths about who God is to us. We can definitely start there with scripture whenever we feel tempted. But what if you don't know the Bible, right? What if you don't know the Bible? What if you don't have any experience with scripture? How can we resist and overcome temptation? And this is where I think the person, the identity of who Jesus Christ is, being fully human and fully God, helps us. I think when we are tempted to, you know, give into our temptations or believe any less or any more of who God created us to be, we find refuge in the fact that Jesus experienced temptations like us, but Jesus was also the Son of God and resisted and overcame. This story in Luke 4 is actually a reversal of Genesis 3. So I've been talking about Genesis 3, I'm talking about Luke 4, where Adam and Eve sinned in temptation, Jesus resisted and overcame. Where Adam and Eve died, and humans, we will all die, Jesus died but resurrected. Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. And Jesus is calling us out of the graves.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus is calling us all out back to the identity God gave us in His grace.
Amen.
Sons and daughters of the King.
That's right. That's right.
All right. I love this picture that I saw this a couple of weeks ago. It's a church. It's a fresco. It's a painting in a church in Turkey, in Istanbul, in an Eastern church. So what this picture shows is a resurrected Jesus in body form pulling out Adam and Eve from the grave. Isn't that marvelous? I've been looking at that picture for a while because that's what Jesus does. I love this picture because this is what Jesus is doing in each one of us, calling us out from the places of temptations and sin. In some cases, pulling us out of our old identities of death and restoring us back to the identity of beloved children of God. So Adam and Eve are these coffins and these, yeah. So the last thing I want to bring up is when we allow Jesus to call us out from these dark places, from the places that we were hiding, that temptation set up for us, the same power that is in Christ that raised him from the dead is the same power that lives in us through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Same power that is in Christ, that raised Christ from the dead, is the same power that lives in us to overcome and resist temptation. If you look with me in Luke 4 again, the first verse, what does it say? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the desert, led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And at the end of his temptation, it says before he returned to Galilee, what does it say? He is empowered by the Holy Spirit. When I read that, I was like, what? Do I ever go through temptation and feel full of the Holy Spirit and come out of temptation empowered by the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but that's something that I was just like, wow, God, do I believe in the power that you have raising Jesus from dead to life that's in me to overcome temptation and become the daughter of the King?
Amen.
All right, so sometimes we think the Holy Spirit's just like a warm blanket we throw on. Sometimes we think like the Holy Spirit is just a life force in the universe. But the Holy Spirit is God in us, doing the saving work every day in our lives, saving us, moving us through temptations, and overcoming the things that would draw us to death. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to live a life like Jesus did, helping us to live like who Christ was. So I think this fits really well into what Krista was sharing with us last week about how we are living in between the time that is now and the time that is not yet. There's this phrase that we say, Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, we can't be Christ in a day, too. And so Yeah, resisting and overcoming our temptations and the power of the Holy Spirit is a process that occurs over the course of our lives. The arc of our lives, the shape of our lives become more and more like Christ.
Amen.
That's what we are participating, that's what we've been saying, right? The master sculptor shaping the masterpieces, that is us. Jesus is going to call us from death to life, over and over and over again, every single day. Jesus is going to be calling us out. So I want to conclude with just, there's this image of how we are participating in God's beautiful restoration. That's one of the hopes of Hartford City Church. Yeah, this is beautiful. We are a place where all people experience God's beautiful restoration.
Amen.
Yeah, we are a church community that wants to see and celebrate every movement from death to life. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, this is what we are. God restoring each and every single one of us back to the sons and daughters of the King, right? And we are going to help one another, go whatever lengths it looks like, to help one another become, that's the church. We become people who help us keep faithfulness and obedience to who Jesus is. So I'd like to invite Phil back up to lead us in our time of prayer and reflection.
Yeah. Amen, thank you. This is our vision statement that we have for the church. This is what we desire to see. We're in a season of preparation. We're preparing for what God wants to do, how God's going to guide us as we kind of kick into full gear next month. So we wanted stories and texts of preparation. Jesus prepared for his ministry by going through this. But he did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we believe, as those who've been here before, that we believe the power is for now. We don't just want to teach you and let you walk out and think about it and maybe experience it later on. We want you to experience it right now, in this moment. So I'm going to invite us in this moment to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we need first. That's why I'm here, right? We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be empowered by the Spirit. Then we can understand the temptations. Then we understand when we're being lied to and when we're being told the truth. And I believe, like many of you do, that when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. But I also believe that there's an ongoing and continually filling of the Holy Spirit that happens all throughout our lives. Because our reality is we often feel dry and we feel stuck. And sometimes those lies sound really, really good. And when we have the power of the Holy Spirit activated in us, then we can say, no, that's a lie. That's going to lead me down that dark hole, right? That's going to lead me down that path back into the hole. Whereas we need to hear the voice of Christ calling us into that way of life, the way of light. So would you join me in prayer? And I just invite you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you simply ask. God's not about any tricks. He's not into manipulation. He's that you don't have to have the right, don't have to do the dance to get the hug, they used to say. Just ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life. If the Holy Spirit has come, just ask. Ask the Lord to fill you again. Just right now in this place. And for some of you, maybe just want to be quiet and just connect with God in your own way. Your own personal way, this is a moment to just connect with that which is beyond us, that which is divine. Even as Jesus brought together the divine with human, we as humans long to connect with the divine. So seek God in this moment. Seek him in this place. Believe in faith that something's going to happen right here, right now. To pray for those in your life. And of course, to pray for this city.